Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Feels good.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Stardom 100 Radio. I'm your host, Tanisha Davis. And today on the show, we have a very, very special guest. We have Mr. Christopher Martin. Everybody knows him from the movie House Party. You know him from the group, the famous group, Kid and Play. And we're super, super excited to have him on the show. Mr. Martin, are you on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm a little tired, but it's all good.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, other than that, I'm doing pretty well. So I'm excited. I'm super, super excited to have you on my show today. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on here.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. The pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
All right. I wanted to ask you, what current projects do you have going on? I was listening and finding out that you had a film documentary going on right now called And I Dance. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, it's something I've been working on for many years now. It took that long to be able to accomplish it, traveling around the country and trying to find a lot of old friends and new friends and interview, well, I don't like the word interview, but to have really great conversations with many of the dancers who were responsible for, to help be responsible for the success of a lot of entertainers, you know, rappers and singers, to help make their live shows exciting, their music videos exciting, all of that. But to hear the stories of how these situations and opportunities came to be in their lives, the commitment, the journeys, the victories, the ups, the lows, everything that it took to become successful. And the great thing about it is how they're still successful today, being mostly women, but some men as well. But as far as the women are concerned, for them to be, as the guys too, I'm sorry, to be successful parents, community leaders, entrepreneurs, all of that. So it's like that sub-story in it as well, but really just talking to them about how they started out in low-budget hip-hop videos and R&B videos that are now considered R&B and hip-hop classic videos and went on to dance for people like Prince, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson. The list goes on. So the stories are extraordinary, very inspiring, very encouraging. And I just think it's a part of hip-hop and R&B, but that needs to be told. And I'm excited that they entrusted me and was, you know, able to open up and share. And I think a lot of people will find this, these stories and this journey that I was on very, very interesting, to say the least.
Okay, okay. If I go back for a minute, you know, like I say, you're like a hip-hop icon, very legendary.
I'm working on that. I'm still working on that. But thank you.
But who was Christopher Martin before working on all of this before being known as Clay? Who were you before then?
Christopher Martin was an accident waiting to happen. Coming up in the streets of New York, a little bit more specifically, you didn't have the images and the inspirations that you have today, especially in hip-hop, because it didn't exist. As a matter of fact, it was an era and a time, believe it or not, on this planet where it wasn't, hip-hop didn't exist. And when it did begin to come, it wasn't even called hip-hop. You know, the best I could say was, you know, are they jamming in the park this weekend? Who's on the microphone? Yo, move out the way. They're getting ready to break dance. And, hey, look at that exciting mural that was on the wall, you know, what was being tagged. So what you had from my perspective was, you know, I really wasn't relating to what was going on in the schools. I was more attracted to what was going on in the streets, because that looked like that's what success looked like for a young black boy or teenager. And I was attracted to a lot of the what you would consider negative elements in the street, and that was going to become like my, that was becoming my aspiration, inspiration, all of that good stuff. My father, you know, was doing his thing successfully, or so I thought, in the street, so I wanted to be with him. And then combined with seeing the images that was in the movie theaters, your Superflies, and across 110th Street, and all of what we call the black exploitation era in entertainment and film. So I was just going to be the best, I guess, criminal there could be. And I flirted with that, tampered with that. And thank God, you know, he used something that was eventually going to be called hip-hop to save my life. I mean, I could go into more detail, and I have no problem doing that for the sake of time. I'm kind of broad-stroking. Got kicked out of 5 high schools. Wasn't trying to hear that. Wow. Wasn't trying to cooperate with that. And I was out there. I was out there in them streets, you know. And like I said, God used hip-hop to save my life. I found out I had somewhat of some degree of talent in it. Tried to do the 2-turntable thing, and that wasn't really my thing. Did okay in the neighborhood as far as being a dancer, a break dancer, the life of the party with me and my dudes in Romeo and Kenny D and all of us out there at the parties, and even tampering, you know, out there in the streets. And then someone introduced me to a microphone, and you know, I guess fast forward, the rest is history. Not that I claim to be some great rapper, but I just knew how to act like being a great rapper, you know. So that's what's up.
Okay. Just from being a part of this change in music, what concerns you today about, like, the hip-hop industry versus how it was in the early 90s?
If you had to put a gun to my back and make me come up with an answer for that question, the first thing that would come to mind is, I guess, some degree of monotony, some degree of repetition. The last time I really listened to the radio, the thing that I could best describe is I couldn't be able to differentiate one rapper from another. You know, I didn't know the record had, I didn't know the record changed, or there was another record on after 5 or 6 minutes on. And in comparison to what a lot of people consider the golden era of hip hop, there was more diversity. You know, when you turned on the radio, you definitely knew the difference between an Arrested Development and a Heavy D and the Boys, or a Public Enemy and a Kid in Play, or Antoinette and a Sweet Tea and a Salt and Pep, and of course, you know, my girl MC Light and all of that. So you could just be able to tell through the identity, through the performance, through the execution, the music, all of that. You could pretty much see the difference. So no hate, no shade, or nothing like that, but that's just my answer to that. But I do know that it's all part of a process. When I do stick my head in every once in a while to pay attention or listen to something, you know, I see some interesting things happening, from a Anderson Paak, to a Childish Gambino, you know, J. Cole, of course.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, and it's a good interesting.
Okay. Also, I know you managed to stay involved in the industry, but you're a little bit behind the scenes. So, what keeps you going? Like, versus just saying, you know, I done it all, let's go sit down. Like, what keeps you going?
Well, not a little bit behind the scenes, or try to be a lot behind the scenes. For me, I think what took place during the incredible blessing of house parties and class act and a lot of things that Kit and I had so humbled to have experienced and still enjoy and benefit from to this day. I always, when it was time to take a break or break for lunch, you know, for the films and stuff, I found myself, you know, on the truck, or if I had a break, I found myself on the truck where the technicians and the workers, you know, where it wasn't so pretty and sexy making a movie and paying attention to that. And at the same time, sitting next to the directors and paying it unknowingly paying attention to production and how things was happening. And I've always been in love with documentaries because I always feel that whatever takes the kind of time out of your life that a movie, the length of a movie normally is, you should not be the same person that you were before you watched the movie, after you watched the movie, and in this case, documentaries. I love the fact that when people see my work, it's cool to hear you did a great job, you were fantastic, that was awesome. That's cool. But what I really would like to hear is, wow, I didn't know that. That's what makes me know that I did my thing. So for me, some people call it edutainment. That's fine and well. I can feel that. But for me, you shouldn't know anything less than what you knew after a significant amount of time. Because how many movies have we all seen that when we finally, well, after watching it, we were disappointed and we say things like, wow, that took time out of my life. I couldn't get back. So I would never want to hear that from anything that I do. So it makes life exciting for me. I like when the vision pops in my head and what it takes. And it's not easy. It's work. It's not, you know, as a matter of fact, that's when you know you're really doing something, because if it's too easy and it was that pleasurable, you might want to really ask yourself, you know, how much did you really do? But I really like being able to create something from, you know, this amusement park I call a mind of mine.
Okay. Besides from the music, also you're very spiritual. You're very much in touch with God. What made you make that transition? Coming up from, you know, being on his play, what made you make that transition?
Well, he's very much in touch with me, you know, so I could take no credit for that relationship. He saved me. I didn't save God. But the interesting thing is that, you know, I have a praying grandmother, eventually a praying father, mother, family, all of that. There's a thing in the word that that says what man means for bad, God turns into good. And my whole motivation in the industry was always chasing women, getting a girl, you know, and all of that. And he used that as the dangling carrot to lead me into, thank you, Jesus, where I'm at today. You want to be careful with words like spiritual. You know, it's interesting when you hear people go, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. And my question in my head, if I don't verbalize it, is, okay, well, whose spirit are you entertaining? You know, even the liquor store, even the liquor store says wines and spirits. So, you know, we need to say Jesus. But with all that being said, it's just I've gone through a very interesting journey in life that I'm very thankful that he blessed me to survive. And I know some things, and my obligation and my responsibility is to share those things. It's like a great house party. You know, you can't have a great house party by yourself. You got to tell others and share it with friends. And that fellowship and that gathering makes it great and exciting. So that's what it's all about. But no, he's in touch with me more than I'm in touch with him. It's just his grace and mercy that, you know, keeps me intact. So thank you for asking that question.
Okay, thank you. What legacy do you want to leave behind for this upcoming generation to learn and, you know, grasp hold of when it comes to dance and just music in general?
Well, you know, again, I think the top of the list would be, you know, he taught me some things. You know, like I said, it's all great to hear compliments that help support you, encourage you, inspire you. But to hear a person go, wow, thank you, I didn't know that. That's what it would be, is to have been an educator. You know, I've been involved, being an advocate for education for quite some time. God has a very interesting sense of humor for a person who got kicked out of 5 high schools to turn around and be a resident, an artist and professional in residence at universities, first starting out at Miles College. Big up to them in Birmingham, Alabama, which is, you know, that was an honor. Then at North Carolina Central University, that was an honor. And then to do, and now to date, fast forward to today, to be a professional and artist in residence at Florida A&M University, big up to the School of Journalism and Graphic Communications, you know.
Okay. All right. Before ending the interview, I have to ask your thoughts. There were rumors out that there was supposed to be a remake to House Party by LeBron James. And I just have to hear, what were your thoughts? What are your thoughts about that? I mean, because that was a classic movie.
No, I think it's great. LeBron James has always shown nothing but love for Kid and I. You know, it's very apparent how much he loves that work that we've done. Times where he's even posted up pictures of his two sons, you know, haircuts that he did that recreated the looks of Kid and Play. We did an Allstate commercial with him at one time and all of that. So, you know, great person. I know what he's trying to do and what he is doing, accomplishing and making a difference in entertainment and stuff. So, no, that's I have no problem with that at all. They say the highest form of flattery is imitation. So maybe you can go in that category a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot going on that people are going to be excited about and love in the near future. Not only that project, but some other things that are finally negotiated and signed and underway. And I'm excited about the things Kid and I are doing collectively. We have, you know, now a residency in Vegas coming up. Let's just say another type of movie is on its way too. I don't want to get too much into that. with myself individually, I'm, you know, producing and coming out with this, doing previews now of And I Danced, but the official premiere is going to be in New York in the fall, early fall of 2018 in New York City. And I'm working, beginning work on a Salt and Pepper documentary. And I'm excited about a series that will be launched very soon. It's been done called Architects of Hip Hop with executive producers and partners, Suzanne DePass, known of Motown fame, and Kenny Gamble of Gamble and Huff of Philadelphia International Music and Records. And first guest is Big Daddy Kane and Grandmaster Cass, and it doesn't get any more architectural than that of hip hop. And with a lot of, you know, guests that appear in the first episode of Fat Joe, Remy Ma, T.I., Nelly. I know I'm leaving out people. I should even have started naming names. So life is very exciting now. It always has been, but from glory to glory, and I'm just really excited about I'm excited about hip-hop. I'm excited about what the future has in store, and of course I celebrate the foundation of it. But andidanced.com, andidanced, andidanced.com is the place to be, and big shout out to all the dancers who participated in that. And you know, thank you for taking the time to talk to a guy like me.
Oh, no problem. And I thank you for being on the show. Like, it's truly an honor. And, again, just thank you. So,
big up. Big up
to
Isaac out there.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Isaac. Very awesome journalist. So, thank you for making this all come together. So, I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And so to all those who were just listening in, you can keep up with Mr. Martin. Tell everyone how to keep up with you on social media.
Well, you have, like I said, andidanced.com. As far as my Twitter and Instagram handles, it would be It's Brand News, ITZBRANDNEWZ. That's it on Instagram and on Twitter to get all the latest information. And for the dance documentary, it's andidanced.com. If you go there, you'll get all the social media connections there as well. And thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Thank you. Have an awesome day.
You too. God bless.
God bless.
Oh, yeah. Feels good.
Man, I'm gonna have fun. Ain't gonna hurt no-